You're tuned in to Nerd Overload, your weekly pop and geek culture show covering movies, TV, games, and comics.
Hey everybody, welcome to Nerd Overload, the pop and geek culture show that's strapped into our still suits and ready to drink recycled water.
I'm thirsty. Yeah. I'm Sam.
I'm Cody.
And I'm Samantha.
Josh is on assignment this week to the planet Arrakis, something about being the Kesak Saki Sack or something. All right. We have a great show for you this week. Thank you all for tuning in. We have a bunch of things to go over. But first, let's talk about some things we've been checking out.
Check it out!
But before that, I have an interview.
Oh.
Yeah. So earlier today, had a chance to sit down with the nice folks at Indiana Comic Convention. It's a convention going on at the end of the month, 22nd, 23rd, 24th, I believe. So let's jump into it. All right. Hey, folks. Sam here. We are with Chelsea Stoker, the marketing manager for Indiana Comic Convention. The convention takes place near the end of the month, March 22nd, 23rd, and 24th at the Indiana Convention Center in Indianapolis. Chelsea, thank you very much for taking a few minutes and joining us on the show.
Thank you for having me. We're super excited.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So I've been a big fan of the Indiana Comic Convention for some years now. Like I said, we're Central Ohio, but it's a fairly short drive to get over there. And I was just curious, what would you say sets this convention apart from some of the other conventions in the area?
Yeah, we were super excited. So we joined forces with Indiana Comic Convention back in 2021. And that was the first thing we heard from the people who had been running it is Indiana's energy is unlike anybody else's. And when we got there, we felt it right away. The fans are just super passionate and it's just very welcoming and fun. And any fandom just, I mean, they really just resonate with that. And it's just really, it's an energy that I haven't felt anywhere else. It's really fun.
It's a really amazing time. Yeah, I've gone to a few conventions over in the area. And yes, very large community, very excited for every kind of area of fandom and pop culture. So yeah, perfect place for it. So I was looking up. So this is the fourth year with you guys with Indiana Comic Convention, but this is your 10th year in total with running various conventions. Is that correct?
Yeah, this is Indiana's 10th year. Our home show in Salt Lake had their 10th year last year. And then our longest running one will be on 15 years next year.
Oh, really? Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. Interesting. Interesting. So if you can go back in time to those first couple years of running conventions with the knowledge that you have now, what would you tell your past self? What would you tell the folks that were running the show 10, 15 years ago?
Yeah. So I wasn't with the convention when they first started, but I think even just the ones that we started recently, it's crazy because pop culture is ever changing. You know, things that were popular back then are more popular now. And we were just talking about this yesterday with internally just how it's kind of cool when you start out and you get some of these actors and actresses who, you know, are just starting in a role and might not be as well known. And all of a sudden you see them 10 years later accepting Academy Awards and Golden Globes. Like, you just never know whose career is going to blow up overnight, you know? And that's what's really fun is getting in on those early moments in their career and really connecting with them and just kind of being behind their success in a way, you know, supporting them in their roles and different things like that. So I think that's been really fun to watch from like early years to now. Like Steven Yeun's one that comes to mind that just really has had his career blow up in the last few years.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. A lot of folks get their start kind of in these smaller roles and kind of these niche roles and then kind of blow up over time. Absolutely understand. Well, speaking of celebrities, you guys have just a jam packed list of celebrities that are going to be on the show this year. Would you mind sharing a few of the folks that will be attending?
For sure. It's one of my favorite topics. We have Hayden Christensen coming, which everyone is super excited for. He's really had another one that his career the last few years in the Star Wars fandom has changed with some of these new Disney Plus shows that have come out. So people are really excited about that. Rosario Dawson's coming out, who I've been a fan of since Rent. And she's had numerous different movies with her. But we also have fun ones like Lee Majors and Lindsay Wagner that, you know, really take you back to some of those early sci-fi things.
Oh, yeah. Some $6 million man, yeah. Some bionic woman. Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
She was the first woman to win, I think it was an Academy Award for a sci-fi female role. So just really, I mean, Home Improvement. We've got Richard Karn and Debbie Dunning. I remember watching those with my family growing up. And Jodie Benson, Little Mermaid. It's just fun. We have a plethora of a ton of different fandoms and times, and there's really something for everybody, I feel.
Oh, that's excellent. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, just a little bit of fun for everybody, you know. Going through some of the other things outside of the Celebrity Row, what are some of the other events that fans can expect if they attend Indiana Comic Con?
Yeah, the one I'm most excited for is we're actually having an Easter egg hunt on Sunday.
Oh, really?
For 12. Yeah, we're the weekend before Easter. So we were just like, why not have a comic themed, you know, Easter egg hunt? And just kids 10 and under are free too. So it's a great time for families to come out. Bonsai is going to be there doing some balloon sculptures for kids. We're going to have a face painter. But we also have vendors and artists from local and national coming to, you know, promote some of their stuff. It's a fun time. If you haven't got all your Easter shopping done too, it's a great time to get all that fandom merch, you know?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So speaking of, there is a fairly large vendor area and artist alley, that sort of thing. What is that shaping up to be this year? What's it looking like?
It's looking super awesome. We have a couple big comic book people, Mark Bagley and Jim Starlin, come in, who have been phenomenal in the comic book industry. We have about 17 other comic creators coming in, authors as well. And then lots of artists. My house personally is just decorated with a bunch of fandom art, because it's so fun just to, you know, have stuff up that makes you happy and is just part of you. And I think it is a fun way for people when they come to your house to kind of like get a glimpse of the things you're into. But yeah, we have mystery boxes, Funko Pops, art, jewelry, stickers. I mean, there's a little bit of everything.
One last thing. So one of the big things that I'm into when we go to conventions and whatnot is the cosplay. How's the cosplay scene look at ICC?
It's going to be one of our biggest this year. The cosplay contest will take place Saturday, and it's actually right before Hayden Christensen and Rosario's special event. So it'll be at 7 p.m. Saturday night, and we have had more applications than ever before, and I'm just really excited. I think some of the best people are coming out to celebrate their 10th year and show off their skill, which Indiana is full of.
Well, that's great. That's great. So where can folks go to get tickets for the event?
Yeah, you can get them on our website at IndianaComicConvention.com. Also, our app is now launched, and there's a button there to just directly take you. And you can also find your schedule, the guest list, everything in that app as well. And you can get that in your Google Play Store or Apple Store.
Well, great, great. Well, again, thank you. This has been Chelsea Stoker, the marketing manager for Indiana Comic Convention. Again, those dates, March 22nd, 23rd, and 24th. Chelsea, thank you again for coming onto the show and talking a little bit about Indiana Comic Con. And we'll see you there. Thank you very much.
Thank you. See you all there.
It seems like it's going to be a lot of fun. Hayden Christensen, going to be there. Same with Rosario Dawson. And
so there won't be any sand, or he'll be very angry.
Oh, no. They had to reschedule the Dune reunion. The Redunion.
Redunion. Dune 2, the Redunion.
Yeah, that's what they should have called Dune 2. And then they could call Dune 3 Tokyo Drift.
Yeah.
So anyway, let's get into some things we've been checking out. And
The drift is sand.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Yes. The sandworm drift. I like it.
Yeah. Thylou drift.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Get them watching those sandworms like turn on their side. Like, yeah. Like, yeah. Oh, perfect.
Can Paul drift a sandworm?
One can only hope.
Check it out.
All right, and talking about drifting things leads me right into my check them out, believe it or not. And you guys are going to want to put your hand on the button, because Sam's going to talk about Power Rangers adjacent.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Don't worry. I'm not going to talk about it for too long. No. So the newest season 48 of Super Sentai. That's right. The show's been on since the 70s. It's been on consecutively every year since 1973 or 74, something like that. It's a contemporary of Doctor Who. But season 48, the newest season had their first episode last week, and I sat and watched it. Charging Sentai Boond Boomger.
A great name.
A great name. That's definitely not difficult to say. It is a car season.
I like the car ones.
The car ones are good. They're usually a little goofy, but that's
good. Ranger might be my favorite. I don't know. It's funny.
Oh, then you're going to like this one because the villains are just a reckless driving gang.
Nice.
Yeah. And so far there's three main Rangers. It's going to end up being a five Ranger team, but they're starting the first couple episodes with just three of them. And they're delivery people, but they deliver at a fast pace, and they take on jobs that no one else will take. Like the first episode was the introduction. So usually in these shows, the Red Ranger is a lot of times the audience point of view character. Like he's being introduced to something that's already established otherwise. This season, it's the Pink Ranger that is the point of view character, because she is at an altar looking very distressed. She's about to get married. Clearly an arranged something or other. And the Red Ranger busts in and says, "Hi, I have a delivery. We have a guy at the airport that is asking for you." Takes off. And in the process of getting from the chapel and being chased by, first off, the groom and his family, and then the bad guys, the monster group for the season, she decides, you know what? I don't need other men to tell me what to do. I'm going to take charge of my own life. I'm going to become the Pink Ranger. It's sure. Actually a really good episode. It's pretty cool. Also, so the mentor, the Zordon, is also their main robot, voiced by the Japanese voice actress who does Ash from Pokemon. So little child's voice. And its name...
Not our American Ash, who sounds like he smokes a pack a day.
Yeah. No. And so this robot's name, and I kid you not, I am dead serious when I say that his name is Boomtorio Boomderis.
Wow.
An Antonio Banderas joke in the year 2024.
In a Japanese
television show for children. No one's going to get this.
Wow.
But no, the show's really good. The action is really, it's pretty solid. It's a lot lighter than the last couple of seasons. Last season, King Oger was very... It was very serialized. This season seems like it's very kind of one and done, kind of episodic. More for children, bright colors. Their helmets are stupid.
Oh, yeah, I saw a picture. They're bad. Have you seen them?
Oh. Yeah.
They look like tires.
That's not a joke. They do just look like tires. I'm going to pull up a picture.
Show me this.
Oh, yeah. No, I can't tell if they're my least favorite or my favorite.
But they're definitely,
they're one of them.
Evoke feelings.
Yeah. And you know what? The rest of the costume looks great. They look like race car people with like tennis shoes. Let's see if I can get them.
I mean, I get it, but ew.
Yeah. Their face is just a tire with a mouth.
Ew.
Not a fan, I think.
No.
Otherwise, weird. It looks great. They so the team doesn't have their fourth and fifth members, but the characters are kind of introduced very quickly. Black Ranger is an inept cop, and the Orange Ranger, first time ever, a main team Orange Ranger, who is a guy who can just procure things. Things fall off the back of a van. And now he can get them for you.
Mm-hmm. Kind of a shady guy.
Kind of a shady guy, yeah. But no, it's very good. You can find it online. Oh, the other thing. So what the bad guys, their main goal is, they're collecting fear because it's their gasoline.
Okay.
And one of the three main bad guys is a sentient car. And when the Monster of the Week gets destroyed... The tiny car fills up with fear gasoline and then belches it onto the dead monster, who then grows because he's filled his gas tank to max of the fear gasoline.
But fear, I hear, is the mind killer.
It is.
It is the little death that leads to total obliteration.
Well, the first monster for this episode, for this show, was a wedding dress monster. And that was the little fear, because it was running around saying, "Get married!" and shooting trapping everyone inside of sentient wedding dresses.
It's the Japanese government trying to get people to raise the birth rate.
That's, well, yeah. And the way they create the monsters, they shove a car key into an inanimate object and turn it like they're revving the engine, and then it turns into a monster based on that thing.
Wow.
Again, it's stupid. I love it. I love this stuff.
It sounds like a fun one.
It's going to be a good one, I think. It's definitely going to be a good one.
We watched Dune again in preparation to see the second one, which we still have not seen yet.
Okay.
But
well, remind me how I have mixed thoughts about the original, the first Dune. The Villeneuve, the first one. The first of the new ones.
I think I liked it more the second time around.
I did, because I stayed awake.
Yeah. You stayed awake all the way through. You fell asleep, I don't know, about the time the Satyrkar showed up.
Stuff started happening.
Yeah. The machinations went into motion.
Wow, that's like 40 hours into it, right?
Yeah, into the four-hour runtime.
That was the main thing I remember about it. It seemed good when things happened, and long and boring when they weren't.
I felt more invested in it this time around, and maybe I was just in a better mood or something, but I liked it more. And I feel like I absorbed more of what was going on this time around.
Oh, that's fair.
And maybe because I'd read more of it at that point. I don't know. But they did a good job. He did a really good job capturing the feel and the look.
The
and,
look was amazing. I loved the technology in it. Like the ships, the flying ship.
The ornithopters.
The ornithopters, yeah. Those were really cool. I thought the still suits looked better in this one than they did in the David Lynch one. Still suits? No.
No, that's right. They're still suits.
Body shaped force fields.
Shields. They're just shields.
They're just called shields. I didn't know if they had an actual name, but no, I thought it looked cooler.
Yeah,
it made more sense.
Cool, and yeah. Yeah, a lot of cool helmets.
Yeah,
cool space helmets and cool space witches.
Mm-hmm. Those are cool. I kind of wish Duncan Idaho didn't die almost immediately, because he seemed like a cool character.
Yeah.
That I would like to see more stories about.
No, you're just stuck with Gurney, Halleck, and Sogar.
Who are those?
Gurney Halleck is like the Duke's like right hand guy.
Oh, is that Brolin?
Yes.
Okay. He seemed all right, too.
And Stilgar is one of the Fremen. He's the one that first goes and meets the Duke and, like, spits at him.
That's right. Okay.
And
yeah.
Duncan Idaho has to be like, "Thank you for the gift of your body's moisture."
Gotcha. Yeah, you know, I saw that movie in theaters, and I only saw it the one time. And, I mean, I did stay awake through the whole thing, but, yeah, there are large portions of it that my brain is just...
Yeah, give it another pass.
I think it's
worth a second watch, especially since the second one is apparently very good. I've heard nothing but good things.
I've also heard nothing but good things about it. So, yeah, I'll give another shot.
I haven't seen the Lynch one, and I want to watch it.
Oh.
But I don't want to, like, spoil the rest of the story. I haven't finished the book.
Well, don't worry. It doesn't stay as... Because they squeezed two or three books into one movie... There's the Lynch one is interesting. I don't know if I'd call it good. In fact, I'm pretty sure I would not call it good. But I don't think you would miss out on much. I don't think you would spoil yourself too much if you were to watch it.
I might do that then.
Yeah.
You've been getting all the Dune memes on your TikTok. And there's, for some reason, something about the Dune memes that are, like, extra funny to me. I don't know why. I guess because Dune is so self-serious.
Oh, it's, yeah.
And to see people cracking jokes about it is extra funny.
Yeah, the only thing in Dune that didn't make it from the present to the future is humor.
Yeah.
Yeah, no comedy.
Just worms. I've put a lot of time, like a lot of time, into Final Fantasy VII Rebirth.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Despite not actually getting very far in the story itself, because it's open world activities get its claws in me, and I can't leave to the next area until I've like done every little thing.
Okay, how far are you into it? Like, what town are you at?
Ju-on.
Still Ju-on? Okay, so that is pretty early on in the...
Like, I just ran into Yuffie. Like, saved her from the sea monster.
Gotcha. Now, did you play Intergrade? The halfway game between? Did her stats from Intergrade carry over into this?
Nothing carries over from anybody.
Oh, really? No. Okay. Huh. Do you suppose once all three of them are out, they're going to put out one mega game that encompasses all three and whatever side games?
I don't know. That'd be crazy if they had like a big box set.
Mm-hmm. And it just shared save files from one to the next or whatever.
Yeah, but there nothing connects. Like you start back, you don't have any weapons you had before. You're back to a Buster Sword. And
gotcha.
Like it's like the other game.
Didn't happen.
Well, like story-wise, it happened, but
sure. But it starts you fresh. Okay,
and like, I can understand why they did that, so they don't have to balance.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. I suppose that makes sense.
And they'll try to argue that you can play this one without playing the other one, but you can't. Don't do that.
That's like them arguing you can't play the first one without playing the original.
Yeah,
you can't.
You won't get it.
There are certain bits that you wouldn't get.
I mean, it would still be enjoyable, and the story, it would still tell a coherent story, but you'll be missing, like, the...
large chunks of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The nuance of Final Fantasy VII.
Yeah. It also makes me wonder, so they did the halfway middle point story with Yuffie. Do you think they're going to do... I know he shows up at near the end of this game. Do you think they'll do an Intergrade of Vincent for the next one?
I think they said they're not going to do another like DLC.
Oh,
they're just
really?
Going straight into making the next game so it doesn't take as long.
Okay. Well, that's kind of a shame.
But I wish they would.
It would be a perfect thing for them to do, like, okay, this is a flashback of Vincent, and it's basically a truncated version of...
the stuff they reveal in Dirge of Cerberus.
Yeah.
Because they could stand to make his past a little more solid.
They could.
It's a little vague. They should just remaster Dirge of Cerberus like mm-hmm. they did the Zack game.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
Well, you know, it's going to end up being one of the stories in Ever Crisis.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah. So, you know, if you want to play your gacha game... eventually the story will be there.
Man, I am stuck in that at one of the first soldier battles.
Is it the refight of Stamp?
Yes.
It took me 3 weeks to get my guys up to level and get a strategy. I did it once and I'm never doing it again.
I have everybody at level 70.
I maxed it. Don't just hit
You can't auto it.
Auto it, no, because it won't put any defense down or magic shields up or anything like that, and you're going to need, like, magic attack down and defense down. And I think I still scraped by almost completely dead by the time I got through it, but...
it sucks.
It's a bummer.
Yeah.
It's a real bummer, but otherwise that game's been great.
Yeah, the events they've been doing have been interesting.
They've been really cool, yeah. Hey, let's take a break, and when we come back, we're going to get into some news.
Long Play is a radio show.
Long Play is a lifestyle.
It is a radio show.
It's a lifestyle.
Hey, 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 calm down, you two. Long Play is both a radio show and a lifestyle. If part of your very existence includes playing old vinyl records,
it is.
Then Long Play's the radio show for you. I invite you to tune in Friday nights at 11 and Saturday afternoons at 3 to see what it's like to have
the best of both worlds.
Hey, everybody, we're back from our break where we all partook in the spice melange. And now we're ready to see into the present and talk about some news.
Yeah, the spice... as I was going to say, it's not the most powerful spice we got our hands on, but you know,
it's actually cinnamon.
Yeah. Oh,
we're going
right.
to tell you all about the things that are happening
that are currently happening
now.
Spice so powerful, we're going to tell you about the recent past. All right. So yeah, let's get our laughs out of the way now, 'cause let's face it, this is going to be kind of a bummer. Unfortunately, these first couple might be kind of a bummer. Let's get the sad stuff out of the way first.
I mean, I don't want to rank them, but we'll do the less sad one first.
Sure, that's fine.
Rooster Teeth, the new media company that did Red, most famously did Red versus Blue, but also did some other stuff.
Ruby, that RWBY anime.
I hear people, the kids like it.
People love that. But yeah, they were a company that has been around. They've been around forever. They've been around for a very long, since we were kids.
Yeah.
Or a teenage. Yeah, they were shut down by Warner Brothers.
Yeah, guess who?
Yeah. Add it to the list of things that Warner Brothers is just yanking.
Destroying.
Just getting rid of everything. Yeah. And that's a real bummer. I mean, I had heard that they were not making a ton of money at the time. So like it was a, well, this is a vestigial limb kind of thing. We're just going to close it. But
I feel like Warner Brothers had no idea what to do with it.
Agreed. Apparently, they tried to sell off some of their piece out their IPs to different companies before just shutting it down completely. So, yeah, just add it to the list.
I wonder what happened to Ruby. Did anybody want that?
No one has said anything.
I mean, you can't really sell Red versus Blue because it's so tied up in Halo.
Halo stuff, yeah.
Wow, yeah. They were kind of in a rock and a hard place. Like, I can see why it happened.
Mm-hmm.
They seemed like they were kind of on a downturn, and I think most of the original founders
they were pretty
away.
Well gone, yeah. But there were also, it was like also a streamer, like Twitch streamer collective kind of thing as well. I know there were a handful of, they like were under the Rooster Teeth
yeah.
umbrella
and
kind
you
of
can,
thing.
And you can make a lot of money out of that if Warner Brothers had any idea what they were doing.
Yeah.
They probably could have made a tidy sum with a streamer collective, but you know, they don't know.
They don't know. So
they'd rather write things off on their taxes than entertain.
Yeah. They also, Warner Brothers also closing down a bunch of, delisting a bunch of games from Adult Swim Games. Right?
Yeah. Adult Swim used to have a game publishing arm where they published a lot of like great indie titles.
Mm-hmm.
I have a list of them here. Pretty soon you're not going to be able to get these on Steam anymore.
Yeah.
Unless the developers can buy out their IPs or.
And chances are Warner, if Coyote v. Acme is any indication, they're not going to be priced to sell.
Yeah. I know some of them have made it. There was a cooking battle one. I forget what it was called. That yeah. survived. There's some of them that have made it out, but not the vast majority.
Yeah.
Stuff like Duck Game, which had a big, kind of big mm-hmm. following. It was like a PvP duck silly fighting game.
A lot of these games are going to be silly.
There's a Samurai Jack game, Samurai Jack Battle Through Time. That's going to be gone.
Yeah.
The Rick and Morty virtual reality game, which sounds like something that would sell itself to most.
You would think, but, you know.
Kingsway, which was like a really interesting like RPG game that was played in its own like weird UI.
Mm.
It has its own like little version of Kingsway Windows that you played the game in. It was really clever. That's gone. Headlander, a game by Double Fine.
Wow, they're kind of big.
Yeah.
Jeez.
I don't know what Small Radio's Big Televisions is. Westerado, that was a neat game. It started out as a browser game and later got a full version that is going to be gone.
It's going to be gone now, yeah.
Super House of Dead Ninjas, I remember hearing about that being good. I'm skipping around now
because
some of these I don't know. Super Puzzle Platformer Deluxe has a terrible name. Fist Puncher.
I've heard good things about Fist Puncher, which is also a very good name.
Yeah, that's a good name. Wasted, which was the game I really liked. It was like a play on Fallout where it was a roguelike version of Fallout.
Oh, interesting.
Where it was randomly generated vaults that you went down into in kind of like a a post-apocalyptic pub crawl where you would find different drinks that would affect your stats and give you different powers and stuff.
Okay.
It was really cool. So get it now before you can't anymore. That's the majority of them.
Okay. So yeah, just kind of weird. It's weird how Warner Brothers has gone full fire sale with like 90% of their stuff. I'm honestly wouldn't be surprised if Superman, James Gunn's Superman film, doesn't hit a certain money threshold. I don't mean isn't marketable, isn't like successful. If it doesn't hit a certain money level, I wouldn't be surprised if they try to end or sell off DC Comics as a whole.
Yeah, especially with comic book movies kind of being on a, not kind of being on a downturn.
They are on a downturn. And David Zaslav clearly does not have any time for anything that is perceived as childish. Because look at the things that he's gotten rid of. Most of Cartoon Network, Rooster Teeth, Looney Tunes cartoon movie, the Batgirl movie.
Yeah.
He's getting rid of everything that's not. And I mean, I've also heard that they've started delisting a bunch of stuff from HBO Max, like a bunch of like cartoons and stuff.
It's just going to be cheap to produce reality TV show, Discovery Channel reality.
Because
TV
that's
show
where he's
garbage.
From and that's what he knows.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because as soon as they merged and their stuff started showing up on Max, it's just like all this crap.
Yeah.
That I would never watch in a million years starts hitting like the watch it now, some trash documentary that's taking advantage of people. It's
yeah,
like, no,
that sucks.
No thanks.
No. So yeah, that's a bummer. Let's continue down the sadness train.
In a larger bummer, famous mangaka Akira Toriyama, the creator of Dragon Ball, the designer for Dragon Quest, passed away like last night as of recording this.
He actually had passed away a while earlier, and that was just them doing the
announcement.
It seems as though his funeral has already happened.
Oh.
And well, he was pretty private in his later years, and apparently it was a minimal, you know, family only thing. And
he's only like 61, I
68.
Think. 68. Okay, that's a little older. But
yeah, he was 68, but he had some health issues, it seemed like. Hematoma is what they called it, acute hematoma. And yeah, you know, as I'm not that big of a Dragon Ball guy. I'm not a Dragon Ball guy.
Me either.
I recognize what a Goku is, and I can recognize what a Dragon Ball is, but beyond that, I'm really not. Kind of wish Josh was here, because he's
the Dragon Ball expert.
He's the Dragon Boy among us. He's the Monkey Boy and the Dragon Boy, which works because Dragon Ball also has monkeys in it.
Yeah.
So, you know. But just the amount of...
The impact he's
yeah,
had
the amount,
on...
the impact and like the amount of different...
comics and animation and everything as a whole. Like he's one of the big ones worldwide.
Yeah. This is akin to Stan Lee.
Yeah.
I would say. Stan Lee's passing.
Except Stan Lee wasn't an artist.
He wasn't, but I mean as far as like influence on the white pop culture as a wider kind of, you know, vision. Yeah, this would be kind of similar. And it is really sad. It's really sad to see him go. I mean, we're getting to that point where a lot of the people that we looked up to as kids are, you know.
Yeah, I've always known him. I've appreciated most his designs for Dragon Quest.
Yeah.
Because I love Dragon Quest and I love his monster and character designs for those games.
They're great.
The simple slime enemy is one of the greatest like video game enemy designs, most iconic designs of all time. It's, that little teardrop.
It's incredibly iconic. That's absolutely right. And I mean, you know, some of the other things that he has done over the years, like the, is it Arale? His first... His comedy,
Dr. Slump.
Dr. Slump. That's what it's called. Yeah, his first kind of comedy comic that he did. I've read a few of those. They're funny. They're a little dated, but they're funny.
Yeah, and we wouldn't have half of the popular animes we have now if it weren't for Toriyama.
Oh, hugely influential.
There'd be no One Piece.
Yeah,
or others. I don't know.
I would almost. Well, no, I was almost going to say JoJo, but no, that's Fisted in the North Star. That's just Fist.
Yeah.
And North
oh,
Star.
Yeah. JoJo's almost like a parody of Fist of the North Star.
Yeah. But like, yeah, a lot of like the shonen manga and stuff like that, you wouldn't get without.
I think Toriyama. Anime and manga in general in America wouldn't be as big as it is now if it weren't for Dragon Ball.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, if it weren't for Dragon Ball in the middle of the day on Cartoon Network, it would still be that weird thing that, you know.
Yeah, or they would still try to like super Americanize them. You would get bad dubs where they change people's names.
Change their names. That Onigiri's, that's totally a donut.
Yeah.
It's a jelly donut.
Jelly donut.
But no, sad to see him go. But
it's a huge bummer.
And apparently he was still working on stuff, too. He had some things. Well, you had that Sandland game that was coming out soon.
And I think maybe a Sandland movie?
There's
another Dragon Ball something coming out soon. That's basically the last thing he worked on.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
So that's going to be really bittersweet when that comes out.
It is. There won't be a dry eye in the house when that last Dragon Ball movie comes out, because there'll probably be a, you know, in memoriam Akira Toriyama thing. And yeah,
it's been bumming me out all day. And like I said, I'm not even a big Dragon Ball guy.
Same here. Yeah, really not. Yeah. But, you know, that's life, I guess. I don't know. Anyway, let's talk about some not so bummer things. Tell me about Neuromancer.
Neuromancer, the quintessential piece of cyberpunk media, the book, the William Gibson book, is getting a show on Apple TV, I guess, which is really interesting because it's been like one of those projects that's been in development hell for just decades. Since the book came out, there's been talks of a movie happening that just never has.
Mm-hmm.
I think Hayden Christensen was attached to it at one time.
Okay.
And it just never happened. And now I guess Apple's going to put their money where their mouth is and make a Neuromancer show.
Hey, great. Strike while the iron is hot with Cyberpunk 77.
I hope they lean into the 80s-ness of it.
That I honestly think that is when Cyberpunk works the best, when it's the future of the 80s.
Yeah.
Don't do cyber future of the now, because it's going to all look like Apple stores.
And it's depressing.
And it's kind of depressing. No, give me the cyber future of the 80s. Bright neon, chunky technology.
Video pay phones. That's like the number one. Like, I know your cyberpunk thing is going to be just right when there's a video pay phone.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Good stuff. But I hope it turns out okay.
Hopefully more Blade Runner than Mr. Robot.
Yeah.
Mr. Robot is modern cyberpunk,
I would say so.
And it's good because it's his own thing. And don't make Neuromancer that, because that's not what it is.
Arguably certain episodes of Black Mirror is
modern
cyberpunk.
Definitely.
Which it has that sheen of like, this is clean and new. I don't want small technology. I want big, dumb technology grafted onto people.
Yeah, I want to see people putting chips in their neck.
I want a cybernetic eye that doesn't look like an eyeball. I want a cybernetic eye that looks like a video camera nozzle that's just been glued to someone's face. that's the kind of technology
I want. Laser whip.
Yes. A sword that comes out of your arm, but it's like not like
the
clean.
Mantis. Yeah.
Looks almost like a mantis. Yeah. Stuff like that.
I love that setting so much.
Yeah.
So much so that it carried the whole game. the whole Cyberpunk 2077 game pre-patch, it carried it for me.
Oh,
like,
sure.
I still liked it just because I liked being in that dingy crap future.
yeah. It almost feels like the future of Cyberpunk goes to Star Wars and not Star Trek, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Because things are like still kind of cobbled together. Things are still kind of chunky and kind of dirty and kind of.
Yeah, it has that lived-in feel that Star Wars has.
Yeah, exactly.
But
yeah.
For a different time period.
Right. Future or past, depending on who you talk to about it. Okay, so let's talk about something kind of local, sorta. James Gunn's Superman film is doing some filming both in Cincinnati and Cleveland. More in Cincinnati than in Cleveland, but kind of Both Ohio.
Yeah.
They're coming to Ohio.
So if you want to try and be an extra in this movie, you probably could do it. There's, like they did with
the Avengers, the first Avengers movie. Yeah, I've been kind of keeping an ear out for casting for it, because I think it would be kind of neat to try to get in, because I remember doing the casting for Avengers, ended up not getting in. We know somebody, one of our friends, I'm not going to name him on show, but is in one of the crowd scenes. And I want that.
Yeah, I want to be in a Superman movie. Yeah. I'd do this.
Absolutely. And it's great that they're coming back north, because so much of the filming has been done down in Atlanta over the years. I think they did the first Avengers movie in Cleveland, and that was maybe one of the last ones that did major filming in Ohio. Yeah.
Them being in Cincinnati makes me wonder, are they going to have the Hall of Justice?
That very well could be, because it's down there.
Yeah, that building that it's now a series of museums.
Mm-hmm.
It was a train station originally. That is the model for the Hall of Justice.
And if they're doing Justice League the way, if they're trying to do it as almost a throwback kind of to non-Marvel superhero type movies, yeah. That it very well could be. That would be awesome, actually.
Yeah, I hope so. It's not often you have the opportunity to include something like that without even having to build it.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
It's just there. You can use it.
No, absolutely. Yeah. Let's see. Do we want to talk about more comic book movie stuff?
I've heard museums are very cool, too. I've not been.
But. I think I follow one of them on Facebook, because one of them is a superhero, a DC Comics museum or something like that. Either that or they just use a picture of that as their logo. I don't know. But yeah, it'd be cool to check out. More comic book stuff. So Captain America 4 is happening. The first one with the Falcon as the captain.
Captain Falcon.
Falcon.
That's somebody else.
It is. But yeah, there was a leaked fairly recently that they're bringing back a character from one of the previous films as the villain for this movie. Tim Blake Nelson, known best as one of the sidekicks in Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?
The movie you always tell me I have to watch.
It's a good movie.
That's what I hear.
I'm going to tell you to watch it too. It's very good. But he is coming back as the leader being a Hulk villain. And for folks who remember all the way back to the Edward Norton movie, the Hulk movie.
That is somehow still canon
Still technically canon. Tim Blake Nelson played a pre-gamma irradiated version of the leader. And the last we saw of him, he had a cut on his forehead. Hulk blood dripped into that cut, and his head started to kind of bubble a little bit. Like, not really like bubble, like ripple. The thing about the leader is, what if the Hulk had a giant brain instead of giant muscles? He is literally a little tiny guy, or normal size guy, but his head is humongous because he has all those gamma brains in there.
They'll probably avoid making him look like MODOK in the Ant-Man that everybody makes fun of for some reason, even though I thought it looked about right for MODOK.
It was about right for MODOK, yeah. I hope they do well with this. Now, this is the one that they're also, the first one where they're recasting Thunderbolt Ross. He was, I can't think of the actor's name. He has passed away, unfortunately, and is being recast as Harrison Ford. And that character, Thunderbolt Ross, in the comics becomes the Red Hulk in a leader type situation. So we're probably going to get giant, angry red Harrison Ford.
CG, so CG'd, he doesn't have to be there.
Just stomping around.
Yeah.
But no, it's kind of interesting. It's kind of weird that they're doing a non-Captain America villain for a Captain America movie. Although, I suppose, Captain America doesn't have a lot of villains that are specifically just for him.
Yeah. The Nazis.
The Nazis, yeah. I mean, yeah. Red Skull was kind of the one. And
they've pretty much...
Arnim Zola, which they've done in the movies. And... there was a guy named Flag Smasher. Guess what he did?
He smashed flags.
Basically.
They use that name for that terrorist cell.
Oh, that's right. They did, didn't
Falcon
they? So they
Winter
can't use
Soldier.
That anymore. Yeah. Flag Smasher looked like, he actually looked like Space Ghost in the comics. Yeah. As like, instead of having the power bands, he had a belt that had like the Earth on it, but the Earth just looked like an American flag or whatever. But yeah, no, that means they really have pretty well covered all of the main Captain America villains.
And they're not going to make a standalone Hulk movie, so they might as well pull from his rogues gallery.
Might as well. Hulk movies. Hulk works best as a side character. He needs someone else to play off of, because otherwise.
And then what's Mark Ruffalo going to talk about in his interview if they made Planet Hulk? They couldn't ask him, when are they going to make Planet Hulk anymore?
Exactly.
And then what would they talk about?
Right. Yeah. Okay. So what do we have left here? We're almost through all of them. Fallout trailer. There's a trailer for that Fallout show.
We forgot to watch it beforehand.
Oh, we should speculate what we think is in the Fallout trailer.
There's probably... there's probably some power armor in there. I heard that Walton Goggins is ghoul characters in the trailer, which I've seen pictures
of. I've seen
that
picture of that as well.
He looks like a Fallout ghoul.
Yeah.
I'm super stoked for this show. I'm a big mark for Fallout, and like everything we've seen from it so far looks like it's going to be good and accurate to the tone and look of Fallout.
Yeah. No, I mean, I don't have much of a dog in this fight. I really haven't played
a
dog meat in this fight. Thank you. But yeah, it looks, for what I have seen, it looks like they are getting the tone and the look.
I think
pretty well correct.
It would be very easy for them to miss the mark and make some sort of Last of Us kind of dour thing.
Sure. Yeah.
But it doesn't look like they're doing that, and they're getting Fallout has a very particular tone to
it.
They're
going just wacky enough with it.
Yeah.
Because Fallout, it's, from what I understand, it's got a kind of serious story to it, but the tone's not.
No, yeah, it's
kind of weird.
It kind of pokes fun at itself and at America.
Yeah, a little bit.
Like,
yeah.
It has commentary to it. It's not Borderlands. Like,
right.
It's somewhere between, like, Borderlands and something more serious. I don't know.
Yeah. I my brain just kind of connected this because we were talking about cyberpunk stuff earlier. Is Fallout kind of like, what if cyberpunk was the future of the 60s instead of the future of the 80s?
Fallout's more...
Or 50s, 40s, 50s. Yeah.
50, it's extrapolating 50s, like, American exceptionalism to its end point, which is nuclear holocaust.
Well, sure.
Yeah.
But no, can you kind of draw the line there a little bit?
Yeah.
Like, okay, yeah. So, yeah, no, I'm looking forward to it. I will find some way to watch it because I'm not getting Apple TV.
No, it's Amazon. Amazon Prime.
Oh, well, then I do have that. Okay, I'll watch that then.
Everybody has that Amazon Prime.
Yeah.
But just because they want free shipping, not because they want to watch any of their shows.
Well, sure. No, that's a good point. Although I've heard Miss Maisel is a good show.
Yeah, I've heard that's good.
My folks have watched a lot of that, and they like it. All right, hey, let's go ahead and wrap things up for the week. You have been listening to Nerd Overload. Thank you very much for tuning in. You can find us each and every day over at nerdoverload.com.
Oh, this is the part Josh does. You can find us on social media, Facebook, Instagram,
Patreon.
Patreon, we
Twitch.
Have one of those. Twitch.
Have it in theory.
Yeah, there's a TikTok, I think.
Yeah. All at Nerd Overload now.
Yep.
You can email us at staff@nerdoverload.com.
You can give us a call on the Nerd Overload hotline, 419-561-5556. You could even text that number if you wanted.
Oh, yeah, you could do that too, right.
I never thought about that until now, but we can receive texts on that number.
Nice.
I will see them.
All right, excellent. Well, you can find all of our back episodes on various podcast apps such as Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, and more. Finally, I'd like to thank Parker for helping us out over at the Facebook page and David Pencil for our intro and outro. So again, thank you all for tuning in, and we will be back next week.
Dragon, 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 Dragon Ball Z.